That's down to earth good singing, isn't it? All right. Phil and Faith, thank you for that special. Very good. Appreciate it. Very much of a blessing.
They can sing that
every
Sunday.
Every Sunday, okay. Which one? All of it. All of it. Amen. I agree with you. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians this morning, chapter 1. Telling Bob Dixon here that this morning, the scripture he read, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 he read, goes along with the message this morning. I love it when God interacts with us, even though we don't talk to each other about who's reading what or sharing what. God aligns that and makes it happen. And I like that, you know. When God makes it happen, and it's going to work. It's going to speak to us. And I hope this message speaks to each one of us today. Philippians chapter 1, beginning verse 23. Oops. Paul is saying to live is Christ, okay? Verse 23. Well, let's just start with verse 21. I like it all the way through there. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. How many of us can say that this morning? To live for Christ. To live for Christ. For me. But to die is gain. But if I am to live on in this flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. And then verse 23, but I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ. That is very much better. Yet to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Now, Paul wasn't being proud or boastful here. He was just speaking the truth, because he was preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone and everyone that he met, because he knew that they needed it. He needed it, he got it, and he was going to pass it on. And that's why I say, for me to stay here would be for your benefit. But for my gain is to go on and be with the Lord, which it tells us that he had such a relationship with the Lord that he was ready, if it was his will, to go ahead and see him face to face. If we only knew. If we only knew what was prepared for those who love the Lord, you know, we'd be thinking and talking like Paul here. So verse 25 says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again, which he was looking forward to. I conducted a service, a funeral service yesterday, and it was for a lady who was a Methodist. She was from Columbus, Ohio, and all her family and friends and people who were there were all Methodists, except for me. Now you imagine that, a Baptist preacher in the midst of Methodists, which is fine, which is great. Now the gentleman walked up to me and he said, Pastor Mike, that's what you go by. I said, that's good enough. He said, you begin to peel back a little bit of the Methodist for us, but then after that it was Baptist all the way. And I said, well, you know, I've been Baptist for 65 years and I don't know anything else. But you know what? Besides Methodist, Baptist, whatever denomination, I am Jesus all the way, you know? I don't preach denomination. I preach Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that saved me. And he's the one that's going to take care of us all, right? And he is the one that's going to extend his welcome hand out to us one of these days. So, Paul is saying right here, you know, Paul's in prison. How would you like a preacher that spent most of his time in prison? You know, how many churches would call a man that spent half his life in prison? Paul was. You can imagine his resume. Worked in prison. Worked in prison, you know. But you know what? He had content. He had joy. And that's why he was able to express, you know, for me to live for Christ, that is the ultimate for me. But to die would be gain, because I would be with the Lord. So the message today is to dwell on the positive, because there are a lot of negative things in this world. But see, the negatives are to take second hand of the positive things in our life. Because we, you know, through circumstances and situations in our life, things are going to happen. But if we have our eyes on the Lord and we are trusting him with our lives, it doesn't matter what takes place in this world, because it's only temporary, right? The sufferings of this life are temporal, but the joy that we receive one of these days would be worth it all. If we could just comprehend, you know, the Bible says, you know, the scriptures and a lot of things in life is a mystery. But when the Bible makes it plain and it spells it out to us, it helps us better understand that Jesus Christ, he is in charge. He's in charge of everything. So nothing is going to happen with that's not within his will. And that's what I always pray. Lord, I don't know what to expect tomorrow. I don't know what to expect for the future, for my life, or my family, my church, or people. But don't let anything happen that's not within your will and your purpose. And you know, when you pray that prayer, you can pray with confidence, knowing that he will honor it. If we are a child of God, and we're trying to live the best we can under his guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you see, he will take care of you. And that's what Paul is saying right here. You know, it would be better if I stay here. You know, he was looking at execution. That was in his mind, and that's what they were planning for Paul's life. And regardless of what they did to Paul and everything in his life, he still kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens in our life, whether it be small or to the magnitude of, that we think at the moment, at the time, it's very devastating. See, God is right in the midst of all of that. He's working out all the details in our lives. He is planning ahead, and he's not going to let anything occur or happen in our lives without his okay. And we look at the life of Job. Satan, you know, went to God and said, you know, let me test this guy, see what he's made out of. He said, you go ahead and do whatever you want to him, you just can't kill him. And Job at the time wished he was. His wife said, you know, just go ahead and curse God and die. He said, nope, I came into this world with nothing, I'm going out of it, nothing. You see, what I'm saying, everything in this life is positive because God is in the midst of it. And sometimes we think, you know, if I could do this or I could do that, or we get bored or troubled, or just don't like life the way it is, we want to do this or something else. It's kind of like the farmer who got tired of the place where he was living. So he called up a realtor and he said, you know, I think I'm just going to sell my farm and I'm going to move somewhere else. And he said, I want you to write up an ad, a sales ad, and put it in the paper and see if I get any offers. Well, the realtor went right to work on this and he began to write out the ad and everything. But before he placed it in the paper, he called the farmer. He said, I just want to make sure this is what you want. Place it in the paper. I want to just run it by you. He said, luxurious pastures, a beautiful home, well maintenance, a huge pond, a beautiful view, nice wooded area, nice pastures. He went on and on describing this man, this farmer's place, his farm. And the farmer said, oh, just a minute. He said, could you read that again for me? But do it, this time, just do it real, real slow. I want to grasp this. Realtor did. He said, is that okay? He said, it was perfect. But he said, don't put that ad in. He said, I've been looking for a place all my life just like this. And he said, I'm not going to sell it. You see, sometimes we've got to see the big picture of stuff before we realize how good and positive it is. You see, God has a way of putting a light or showing us the big picture of things when we look at it on the negative side. And Paul was, and the Lord was telling Paul, and he tells us, he said, you know, trust in me. Yeah, things look dim, look grim. Yeah, Paul, you're going to face death. And see, Paul knew this from the very beginning when God called him and blinded him there on the Damascus Road. The person to take care of Paul, he said, you know, you take care of Paul. He's going to suffer a lot for my cause, for my sake. He don't know that yet, but he is. And he did. And see, today, if we take a stand for the Lord and we take a stand for what is right and we stick with our conviction, you see, we're going to be faced with a lot of decisions in life. We're going to be faced with a lot of things that's just not going to line up with our thinking and our conviction and the way that we see life itself. But Paul says, you know, no matter what, I find content, no matter what situation I am, because God is in the midst of it. He's working out all the details. He's going to bring me through this. And that's why Paul, and that's like us today, you know, we keep our eyes, we focus our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it doesn't matter what happens, God is going to see us through. In the book of Philippians, there's 140 verses in the whole book of Philippians. 104 verses. And the name of Jesus or Christ is mentioned 55 times. 55 times. So that's over more than half of the scriptures, isn't it? So despite his hardship, Paul chose to focus on Jesus, and not only did he focus on Jesus, but see, he rejoiced, not because of his circumstances and his situations in life. He focused and rejoiced because he knew Jesus personally. And if we know Jesus personally, you know, in the song that we sang a while ago, Jesus goes about smiling. That's the thing to do, isn't it? Go about smiling. And you often heard me say, if you go around smiling all the time, people wonder what you're up to. And I'm sure a lot of people wondered what Jesus was up to all the time. And I'm sure that Jesus went about smiling because he had compassion upon the people. And in my life, You know, when I think about the blessings that he has bestowed upon me, I can be just like Paul, you know, say, rejoice no matter. Be content no matter. Be joyful, be happy in the Lord. Not in the world itself, but in the Lord. Because there's not much happiness within the world itself, is there? There's a lot of turmoil, a lot of evil, a lot of sickness, a lot of affliction, a lot of grief, a lot of sorrow in this world today. But praise God, you know, we have won the victory over death, over circumstances, over situations. If we would only set our mind and fix it on Jesus, then we would understand what Paul is sharing with us and telling us right here. We read scripture, we look at it, but how often do we sit down and just reflect and meditate on it and glean on what the scripture is teaching us? You see, that's an important thing. That's how we learn more about Jesus Christ. That's how we better understand his will and purpose for our lives, is to read the scriptures, meditate, and pray on the scriptures. That way we better understand and we can keep our focus on what's going on within our lives. In verse 21, it says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." See, he learned that whatever the result, he would win. It doesn't matter what happened. No matter, he would win. See, if they released him, he could continue to preach. But, you know, he preached to the guards. Anyone that was in his path, he preached to them. And if he died, according to Scripture, he would go to be with the Lord. Either way, he would rejoice in the Lord. Allo Wheeler Wilcox stated, "One ship sails east, another one sails west, with the same self winds that blow. It's the set of the sail and not the wind which determines the way you go." That's correct, isn't it? Then no matter which direction you're going in, when you set the sail with Christ, he's going to help you arrive at your destination. So, we need to dwell on the power of God and not the will of man. See, Paul didn't focus on Nero, the emperor, who could call any time for his death. He didn't focus on that. Or he didn't focus on the laws of Rome. Instead, he remembered the truth that God is sovereign. In Psalms 103, verse 19, it says, "His throne is in the heavens. His throne is in the heavens." You think about that. Our Heavenly Father's throne is in the heavens. And guess what? He rules over all. That's what Psalms 103:13 says. That he is above the heavens. He is in the heavens. And he rules over all. So, if he's the creator of all things, and he rules over all things, that means that he is in control of everything. See, Paul knew this. He realized that. And see, he fixed his mind. He set his sail in the direction that Jesus was going. And when you set your sail in the direction of Jesus, whether it's the east, west, south, north, or whatever, he will get you there safe. He will plant you on solid ground. So Paul, he understood God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him. You see, It doesn't mean the Lord causes negative circumstances. He allows them so that we can grow closer to Him and learn to rely on our Heavenly Father for the strength and for the guidance in our life. You see, we may not understand why God allows certain things to happen in our lives, but we must remember He knows our needs before we ask. But He loves for us to ask. I love to ask Him for things. But I've learned a long time ago, when you ask something of God, make sure that you know that it is something that He wants to provide for you already. Not just some want, but a need. And when you pray that way, the Bible says, whatever you ask in My name, I will do it for you. Because we're praying, Lord, Your will be done, not mine. Just as Jesus prayed. Jesus always prayed, Father, Your will be done, not my will. And, you know, I love to hear children pray. You know, they pray from the heart. And see, that's what God wants us to do. Pray from our heart. If we pray from our heart, then God knows that we're earnest and honest about ourselves within. And when we're honest with ourselves, we're going to be honest with God. And that's why He said, whatever you ask in My name, I will do. Now, don't write out a grocery list and say, now, I want all of these things. Now, He might give them to you, but it has to be within His will. And it has to be right for you at the right time. It has to move you forward in success in your spiritual growth with Him. If it's just something for self-gain, you might as well just forget it. Because if you did get it, you probably wouldn't be happy with it, would you? I don't want anything that God doesn't want me to have. What about you? Because if He provides it, I know it's for my best interest, and I will enjoy it to the fullest. And that's why Paul says, you know, no matter what state, what situation, what my outcome is going to be, I've already won the victory in Christ Jesus. And our ultimate destination is heaven. Our ultimate destination is heaven. Lee Carter Maynard, one of the great preachers in years past, he lived to be 90 years old. On his deathbed, the family and friends, they gathered around, and they saw the agony and the pain that he was experiencing. But all of a sudden, everything changed. And a look of peace and a smile came over his face. He opened his eyes and he says, I see it. I see it. Do you see it? It's so beautiful. It is so beautiful. And then he died. What was he seeing? What was Paul seeing? What do we see in our lives, our future, our circumstances? Or is it the Lord that we see? I think Lee Brainerd, he was seeing a glimpse of heaven. He was seeing Jesus standing at the throne, saying, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. See, all of this, the things in this world will soon pass, and we have everything to gain eternally because God is making and preparing a place for each one of us. And see, that should encourage us the more as well, so that we will be sharing that with everybody we know. There are a lot of people in this community, a lot of people in the world that doesn't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, are just waiting for you or me or someone to offer them something that is permanent and something that will bring them satisfaction and contentment in this world, because they've been searching for everything else and nothing else has worked for them. But for you and for me, we know what works. But if we'll just apply it and practice in our life daily and really show it with a big smile, with a cheerful attitude, and a great outlook, and a positive outlook on life and future in Christ, that says it all, doesn't it? That says it all. May we pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your scripture. Lord, I just love to read your word, and I know every one of us love the message that we read from your word and the intent that we see, that you so preciously sent your word to us. You preserved it over all of these years. And people like Paul and servants like Paul and many in the scriptures, it says a cloud of witnesses that have been there and done all of these things that we endure and go through each day. And they made it. They endured. They persevered because they had their eyes set upon you, not worrying about circumstances, but your deliverance, the intimacy that we have with you. We have the victory. Lord, if there is anyone here today that is searching for peace, searching for understanding, comfort, Lord, you extend your grace to us each time we offer an invitation. And it's your invitation to come, to settle things, to make things right, to clear our hearts, our minds of anything that would hold us back or discourage us or think would want us to think negative. And Lord, you always turn things in the positive way because you work out the good in our life for your purpose. Whatever the decisions are this day, Lord, may we be willing to step out and say, Lord, take my life. Let it be. I surrender all to you this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is 513. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how he loves you and me. Okay, let's stand as we sing.